Ready for the word? Let's get started. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Verse 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For verily or truly I say unto you, truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Whosoever, any whosoever's in here, shall say unto the mountain represents any obstacle in your path. Amen? Now in Jesus' case, he was talking about as well in an actual mountain. Faith has the ability to change natural circumstances. Through faith, this universe, this planet was created by faith. The same faith that created it has the same power to transform it. You follow me on that? And through faith, if we would believe, we could see a mountain moved. But the better application as far as we're concerned is the mountain represents any obstacle in our path. And it says faith can move the mountain. Verse 24 says, Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. We have the ability to desire, believe, pray, and receive. And no mountain can stand in our path. We've been made the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. We have the right and the authority to change our circumstances to match up to kingdom results. We have a right, according to the promises of the Word, to live in the blessings of the kingdom. And no devil in hell can stand in our way if we'll find who we are in Christ Jesus and live by faith. What we've been teaching on for the past couple of weeks is we've been looking at formulas, physical formulas, we'll call it spiritual physics formulas, regarding the application of faith. Now, just for those that haven't been here the past few weeks, let me back up just a few minutes and talk about this. My background was engineering. You guys know that. And my favorite application in all of engineering were the laws of physics. I just love physics laws, especially ones that you could, you know, see and measure in the natural. And the Lord showed me once I got saved, He started showing me how many of the laws that govern activities in the natural that you can apply the laws of physics to can also be applied to the things of the Spirit. See, everything that we see, everything that exists out here, everything we've built, were built through the application of laws of physics. By laws of physics, I'm talking about there is a law of gravity. Are you guys with me this morning? There is a law of gravity. And gravity isn't haphazard. You know, Galileo did the experiments with gravity where he showed that a heavy object falls at the same rate as a light object. Remember those? Was it Galileo? Somebody did. You get the anointing, you get these memory blocks on some areas sometimes. Amen. Where they showed that two objects, regardless of their weight, fell at the same speed. Right? So gravity's not haphazard. You drop a cannonball from a building and you drop it 10 times in a row, it'll hit the ground in the same amount of time every single time you drop it. Gravity works the same every time. And so there is a law or a formula of gravity. I know you guys all have it memorized and quote it backwards and forwards. But the law of gravitational attraction is the gravitational constant times the mass of the first object times the mass of the second object divided by the radius between them squared. So, amen. Just say hallelujah. The point of that wasn't to teach you physics. The point was to tell you there is a formula for gravity. When we launch, you know, space shuttles up in air, we use that law. We use that formula to calculate all the things that are going to allow us to get that up in orbit. Your phones that have the GPS on it and everything, there's satellites in orbit that are put in place through using the law of gravity and other physics laws to keep them in the precise spot they need to be in. So these laws are a highly, predictable. By finding out the laws of physics, we can build space shuttles. We can build, you know, jet planes. We can build your automobile. Because the laws work the same every time. God didn't create a haphazard universe. You follow me? It's predictable. It's predictable. I mean, you have on your phone, you know, probably an app that tells you what the weather's going to be in 3 or 4 days. Because laws of physics let us predict these things. You follow me with this? God created here a predictable universe. But see, you don't create predictability out of unpredictability. You don't create reliability out of unreliability. The point I'm making is a lot of people think the things of the kingdom are haphazard. That God is just kind of floaty, you know, wishy-washy, and you know that the things of the Spirit are very unpredictable. You never know where God's going to move. You never know what God's going to do. You do not create reliability and predictability out of unpredictability and unreliability. Are you following me on this? If God created a realm here that's got physics laws connected to it that are extremely reliable, extremely repeatable, then we have to understand that the things of the Spirit that birth this realm have to also be very reliable. Did you follow me on that? So if we're talking about laws that govern faith, if we're talking about laws that govern the anointing, if we're talking about laws that allow us to see miracles take place, they have to be very reliable and predictable as well. Did you follow me? Because you can't create order out of chaos. And God is not chaotic. This Word is eternal. Some of you have Bibles, you know, you may have had a Bible, you know, for 20 years or more. And you know what? You open it up today, the words didn't change. The words in your Bible say what they did 20 years ago. Not only that, the word, we found out through studies that the words of this book, they haven't changed since they were written thousands of years ago. God doesn't change His Word, so He's very predictable. Very, very reliable. And this book spells out to us laws of the kingdom. God said, if you'll do this, I will do that. You know, Faith just came up and said this during the offering. She says, tithing is a law, to paraphrase. God doesn't tell you to tithe because He's trying to manipulate you. He's telling you tithe because there's a blessing connected to it. There are financial laws of the kingdom. Are you following me? And so we've been taking laws of physics and looking how they can parallel laws regarding the Spirit. Now, understand, I'm not teaching you this to start writing down these formulas and saying, okay, here's how I got to do to get my faith to move. I'm using it to show you how faith operates. Did you follow me? Because I want you to start to realize that there are spiritual laws that are just as reliable as mathematical laws. You follow me? And as the physics laws. See, you've got to understand, when you went through school, they taught you mathematics. I'm going to stay on this point for a few minutes. They taught you mathematics. 2 + 2 = 4. It's never going to be 5. It's never going to be 3. It's never going to be 2.76. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not going to change. Why? It's a steadfast declaration of truth. God's way of moving is not going to change. And in the church today, we have bought into a lie. We've bought into a mindset that, I don't have any other word to put it other than that God is floaty. I don't know if there's a word for, I don't know if floaty is a word or not. But with this floaty mindset of God, you know, this that God's like a cloud, just blows with the wind. You know, He's like the wind. You never know where it's going to go. And And God says, no, you need to know my ways. You're not born knowing my ways. You got to learn my ways. You got to learn how I move. You got to learn my what moves me. You know, praise and worship is a spiritual law. You draw near to God, He will draw near to you. You need God, praise Him. Worship Him. We have got to develop a mindset that the things of the Spirit are reliable. That the laws of the kingdom are guaranteed. Because, see, if I don't think it's reliable, I won't activate it. See, if I'm going to, you know, take an airplane trip from here to California, and I'm in question that somewhere along the way the laws of lift are going to fail. You know, there's laws of lift that allow a plane to fly. If I think somehow the laws of physics that allow a plane to fly are going to, you know, maybe be disrupted and all of a sudden they'll be cut in half on my trip, I'm not getting on that plane. You follow me? If I think, you know, laws regarding friction are going to shift, I'm not getting in the car with you if I think all of a sudden your brakes are going to give out. I've got to know the laws are guaranteed. You follow me? If I'm going to step into the opportunities the kingdom provides and do the work required, you follow me, or activate, put in the time to develop myself spiritually, I've got to believe that the results are guaranteed. You know, I'm not going to pray in tongues for, you know, 2 or 3 hours at a time. I'm not going to stay up all night. I don't like staying up all night. You know, when the Lord said, I want you to start doing all-night prayer, I'm thinking, I don't know about that. You follow me? Because there was a day I used to stay up all night, but I had chemical assistance. So I said, God, if I'm going to stay up all night, I need anointing assistance. You're going to show up. Yeah. And you know what He always does? We call it the caffeine anointing. Nobody gets sleepy until the anointing lifts. I mean, you are wired. I mean, you are focused. That anointing drops on us after about half an hour of praying, and all of a sudden you couldn't sleep if you wanted to. I mean, there's last time we did all-night prayer, the one before this Friday, we prayed all night. We finished about 5. I went to Walmart afterwards, brought back on my motorcycle 3.5 cases of soda pop and an inkjet printer, even strapped on my motorcycles. 6 in the morning, I'm like, came back in, loaded the coolers. I'm wired all night. The point is, if I'm going to do all-night prayer, if I'm going to pray in tongues for hours at a time, if I'm going to set aside great segments of my life's time, see, your time's valuable. If I'm going to set that time aside, I've got to really believe there's a guaranteed payoff. I'm not loaning somebody $1,000 if I think they may not pay me back. You follow me? Or, you know, 10% chance. I got to believe there's a guaranteed payoff in this thing. If I'm going to sow love in times where people are, you know, rude to me, I've got to believe there's a guaranteed payoff. I got to believe if I follow out with the commandments of the Word that God's going to bless me. He's going to reward me. Because He is a rewarder God. I've got to believe it's guaranteed. And what I want to get across the point this morning, starting out here, is God created this physical universe in an ordered fashion with guaranteed laws that will produce repetitive results. And the kingdom of God produced it. It's got to be reliable. You can rest assured if God says whatever measure you want to sow, you'll reap. You got to believe that. You got to believe that if you'll forgive your enemies, God will forgive you. You've got to believe that if you will sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. You've got to believe that somehow God's going to turn your situations around. Or you won't do what's necessary to stay committed to and connected to the spiritual principles. If you don't believe the kingdom results are reliable and they're guaranteed, then you won't sow your life into being a blessing. You will revert back to being a taker versus a giver. And people will become, you know, things that you're using versus targets for the love of God. You got to believe the kingdom produces. Amen? And so we've been looking at some of these physics laws and showing how they can be carried over and used to teach spiritual law. And the first one we put up that first chart, Psalm, is what's known as Newton's first law of motion. Now I'm going to go through these again, hopefully not take a whole lot of time on them, but use this as a teaching tool. Newton's first law of motion says force is equal to mass times acceleration. I tell you what, we use these so much in school. These are ingrained for eternity in my mind. F equals MA. First law of motion. And basically what that law says in this natural realm is that if you want to move something, if you want to accelerate something, you have to apply a force to it. Things do not move around on their own. You follow me? I mean, if I take this Bible and I hold it here, I say, okay, Bible, move. It's not going anywhere until a force is applied to it. You follow me? And what Newton's law says, if you want to move something or accelerate something, you must place a force upon it. And based on how big the object is and how much force you're applying will determine how fast it accelerates. So if I'm going to push a baby stroller around, I can take a baby stroller and take one finger and push the baby stroller if I want to, if the baby's not too big. Instead of flashback of Baby Huey. I can push that stroller with one finger. It doesn't take a lot of force. Why? Because the baby stroller is not very large. It doesn't weigh a lot. It doesn't have a lot of mass. So it takes a smaller force to push it or to accelerate it. But if I want to go out and push your truck, or a truck, you follow me? I'm not pushing the truck with one finger. And probably if I push it with everything I've got, I'm not going to accelerate it nearly as fast as I can accelerate that baby carriage. So the acceleration that something experiences is directly proportional. I got to watch my mathematical terms. You know what I mean when I say directly proportional? Is at the same level, the acceleration something experiences is at the same level as the force you apply to it. That's why every guy knows you want to accelerate your car at the highest level of speed, put the biggest motor in it you can put in it. Right? Guys are always struggling to put the biggest engine on something because there is no substitute for speed. Just my own personal opinion in there. The bigger the force, the higher the acceleration. And what we did is we started looking at if we want to move a mountain in the kingdom, if we want to move a mountain, we understand you don't move a mountain without a force being applied. Right? And the force we use, that we went to Matthew chapter 11, and it says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Right? And our force we apply if we want to move a mountain is faith. You know, again, faith sounds so fuzzy. We start talking, you know, in most of Christianity, we start talking in terms of faith. It has this cloudy, you know, it seems cloudy as far as what is faith. But what faith actually is faith is a tool that God gave us that can apply unseen force to move our situations, to change our circumstances. Through faith, it says in the word, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith is a spiritual force that can move the mountains out of your life. Faith is a force that actually is able to reach up and receive power from the kingdom of heaven, power from the third heaven, and bring it into your life to adjust your surroundings. Through faith, you can change your health status. You can be healed by faith. Through faith, you can change your financial status. You can prosper through faith. Through faith, you can access the power of God's love and you can change your relationship circumstances. You follow me? Through faith, you can see your children saved and all your household saved. In fact, God gave us an entire book of promises. You guys realize this is a promise book? I heard Creflo Dollar preaching this the other day. He said there is not a single circumstance that will ever arise in any person's life on this entire planet that this book doesn't have the answer. This, I'm talking about, was there 7 billion people on the planet now? 6 or 7 billion? With a whole lifetime of potential circumstances? And God already put every answer in this book. There's a promise in this book for everything you'll ever go through. I'm talking about sickness. I'm talking about threats to your life. He says He'll give His angels charge over you. He'll give you a long life and peace, right? There's not a thing you'll ever go through that God hasn't given you a promise of victory in this book over. Amen. Y'all ought to be more excited about that. There's promise of victory in here. But every victory in this book is extracted and applied by faith. Faith is God's tool that lets you reach into the promises of this book and pull it out by faith and see it manifested in your life. So faith takes the potential energy of the book, transforms it into manifestation in your life. It takes the potential of the book and creates a kinetic energy transfer into your life that your mountains are moved. Amen. Don't you love the physics terms that just always seem to creep in? You get a science lesson in here. So faith is your force to move mountains. So we've got the formula, force equals mass times acceleration. We're going to let mass be the mountain that you're moving. Right? And the acceleration is how fast is it moving out of your way. You know, if you've got a health situation in your life, that those negative symptoms in your life represent a mountain you need to move. You know, diabetes is a mountain. Cancer is a mountain. An infected toenail is a mountain. It's just a smaller one. And based on the mountain that you're facing, you will move that mountain out of your way based on the level of faith that you developed and can apply. You follow me? Because you have to apply it as well. Based on the faith you will develop. These are spiritual laws. You've got to understand these are predictable. They're reliable. They always work the same. The only place you see the laws of faith not work the same is not when they fail, but when they're superseded by a gift. God may give you a gift and give you a healing you didn't have the faith for. You follow me? He may give you a financial blessing you didn't have the faith for. He may give you the gift of faith to supersede the natural faith you developed so you can receive some miracle that you need. But He's not negating the laws of the kingdom. He is superseding the laws. He's adding to. You follow me? God never takes away. So when we have these laws of faith, talking about your own personal faith you're developing and applying, your personal faith you will learn to get in the Word and meditate the Word and develop your faith regarding a promise will determine how fast you can see the circumstances in your life reversed. Do you guys believe? Do you believe that if your car out there needs to be pushed off, I won't name any names on who's had to push off their car lately. If you've ever had one of those cars you've had to push off, I'm of the opinion that if you're trying to push it off by hand, you follow me? Let's say even in, you know, in a slightly uphill situation, you're going to push it off a whole lot quicker if you put a semi behind that car versus you behind it. I mean, can you believe a semi would push more than you could push? So that semi, let's let it represent a greater level of force, can accelerate that car a whole lot quicker than you can do it by hand. In the same fashion, the more we will develop our faith, you've got to believe. You've got to really believe that the more you'll develop your faith, the more it's going to move the circumstances, negative, you know, situations out of your life. Or you won't do it. And, you know, we brought this out already a few times. But too many people think, well, I just really don't have time for that faith stuff. I don't have time to develop my faith. You know, I just soon just take a, you know, take a Dristan or take a Tylenol versus learn how to, you know, fight symptoms by faith and work the word. So what happens is they never develop their faith. So when it comes time that something really serious hits, you know, like the woman with the issue of blood, something serious, you know, hits where there's something that, you know, penicillin can't kill. You follow me? Something really of great physical danger hits their life, like cancer or heart disease or stroke or whatever. These things hit. They still got this little bitty faith. They're after trying to push this truck. And guess what? On a level, frictionless surface, you can push a truck. You've seen the strongmen pulling railroad, you know, locomotives. Anybody ever seen the strongmen competition? They pull railroad locomotives. You get a level surface without friction, it can be done. But you ain't going to pull it very far, very fast. And you can run out of runway. If something serious hits, you won't have time to move that mountain out of your way. If you're trying to do it with a little bit of faith. But if you built up your faith. You know, I like the story Pastor Callahan tells. Hadn't been to a doctor in over 40 years. Hadn't had the flu in over 40 years. Why? He's built up his faith. A symptom tries to hit, he rolls right over it. And I remember this has been, I don't know, 10 years or so ago. He called me about it. And he had gotten these spots on his body. And they were shingles. And he found out about it. He saw it. And they were painful. So he took authority. He says, in Jesus' name, shingles, I command you to go. And he got up the next day and they were doubled. In fact, shingles, if you remember the testimony of Nassar Siddiqui, it's what he was dying of. He was on his deathbed because of shingles. And they were doubled. Well, I didn't mean it wasn't working. It just means the symptoms were had their own momentum pushing him into the negative direction. You follow me? He maintained his faith connection, and the third day, he got up and they were gone. Beat shingles in 2 days. Most people don't beat shingles in 2 days. You follow me? What happened? He had such a high faith level when he applied his faith, even though a train was coming against him, he was able to move that mountain out of his way. Because he had a high F, a high force level. You've got to learn to develop your faith where you're at. So when there is that, you know, because understand there are things you can just take a Tylenol. You can take a little, you know, go to the doctor, get some penicillin, and it'll knock most stuff out. But if you don't learn to develop your faith, then something large is going to hit someday potentially. That the doctors can't fix. But if you've developed your faith, nothing shall be impossible to you. We have an opportunity. It's not mandatory. You don't have to build your faith. You can die young. You can die broke. You follow me? You can die with all your relationships in chaos and still go to heaven. Potentially. But wouldn't it be better to live in a blessing? Which means we have to believe the laws of faith. Produced the laws of faith produce this realm which is highly predictable and reliable. Then we've got to believe the laws of faith are reliable and predictable themselves. they will always produce. It says in Romans, there is a law of faith. Faith is a law, which means it is guaranteed. Faith always produces. You cannot apply the force of faith and not have something begin to happen. The only question is, how much faith are you applying? How much time do you have? Not only that, if you don't have enough faith, you start to try and apply your faith against a big mountain, you may run out of patience. So many people start to try to use faith and they try it for 2 weeks and they say, well, it didn't work and I quit. It was working. You just quit. Faith always works. We just don't always work our faith. So we got over into this, you know, talking about F equals MA and applying it to moving the mountains. But let's go over to the next chart. And the second formula we looked at was velocity equals acceleration times time. Now, this is an easy one. All that means is the longer you push on your gas pedal on the car, the faster you'll be going after so many seconds elapse. If I push on the gas pedal for 5 seconds, I'll be going faster than I would if I just pressed on for 2 seconds. In other words, however fast you're accelerating, as time progresses, you'll be going faster. Your car has an accelerator pedal. The longer you push on it, the faster you'll be going. That's all that means. And so, if we take these two formulas, and I don't have time to go in depth into this today, but if we take these two formulas, F equals MA, and we combine it with V equals AT, velocity equals acceleration times time, we end up with what's called our classic formula for momentum. We end up with this right here. Force times time equals velocity times mass. And again, you know, people see algebraic, you know, characters and they start to panic. Math. Let me put it in easy terms. You're applying a force over time. In other words, I'm pushing the car. The longer I push the car, the faster the car will be going. Right? And it's got a set mass. In other words, it's got a weight. And the more weight it has, the faster it goes, the more momentum it will have. You know, I've had this happen on more than one occasion. But I've had to push a car off or do work on a car, and all of a sudden the car start rolling on me. Every garage mechanic's had that one happen. Shade tree mechanic, I mean, had that happen. You put the car in neutral to do something, you get out and all of a sudden it starts to roll. You know what you do? You dive under the tire. No. Throw your dog under the tire. No. What do you do? You, without getting behind the car, get beside it, you grab something, and you start to slow the car down. You follow me? And I've done this I don't know how many times. Put the car in neutral to do something. Anybody else ever done that? Raise your hand so I don't look like an idiot now. The car starts to roll, and you start to stop it. And what happens is you were reversing that momentum the car had. That car had a momentum. It was rolling, and it took you a few seconds to stop it. You had to apply force over some time to get that car to stop. But if the car's rolling, you know it's rolling. It's coming down the driveway at 30 mile an hour. Down the hill or whatever, you know, you're not getting behind that car. You don't have enough force and enough time to stop that car before it runs over you. So the bigger the object, the faster it's going, the more momentum it has. In other words, the harder it is to stop. And what we called momentum is an object's capacity to roll through opposition and not be stopped. The momentum of an object. Do we have the one called snail? Put up snail. This is something we would say was of low momentum. It doesn't weigh much, and it's not going very fast. So, you know, you're crossing the street, nobody goes, "Look out, snail!" You never push anybody out of the way of a snail. It's going to run you over. But put up the next one. This one is an example of a competition of two different momentums. And the bigger mass won. The train carrying a great amount of momentum. You don't want to jump out in front of a train to say stop. Because it has stored energy, stored momentum that allows it to go through opposition, even a car on the tracks. See, the car you wouldn't jump behind, the train's not even concerned about. The train's going right through. And so momentum represents your ability or the ability of something to go through opposition. I mean, in sports, even coaches have learned to coach in what we call soulish momentum, momentum in the soul realm. They will coach teams how to develop a momentum, a positive outlook in the game, and not let the other team up. If you can get the other team down quick, get them down, get their momentum down, you can continue to roll over them. So coaches will coach momentum. Well, there is a spiritual momentum. Y'all with me? This law of momentum was birthed out of another realm that has momentum as well. There is a spiritual momentum. And if we take this and we apply it, go back to our former, well, you can go to the next one after that. Go to the next one. Spiritual momentum is your ability not to be stopped regardless of opposition. Amen? And remember our formula is FT equals VM, VM being momentum, velocity times mass. That's the momentum. Momentum is developed by applying a force over time. And if you want to develop spiritual momentum where circumstances just bounce off your life, I mean, symptoms try to hit you and you have divine health, you just go right through them. You need a spiritual momentum. You follow me? Devil says you're going broke and he hits your finances. You've got so much faith in the power of seed, you sow another seed, you plow right through all the opposition. You have a spiritual momentum. The enemy tries to get you offended. Somebody hurt your feelings. Well, I just don't like what he said. Spiritual momentum, you just go right through. You have so much love on your life. It just bounces off. And this momentum is developed by force times time. But what is our force? In the spirit, what did we say our force was? Faith. So we have here what I coin as faith time. Spiritual momentum is developed by staying involved in the things regarding faith over a period of time. It says in Hebrews 6:12 that it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. It implies time. You follow me? Through faith applied over time, patience, we inherit the promises. See, we're not going to step into the things of the kingdom with, you know, every other day getting a daily devotional. It may be something that involves faith, but there's not enough time investment. You're not going to move into the things of the kingdom because you go to church once a week and get a 15-minute sermonette. There's not enough of a time component involved to develop spiritual momentum. Spiritual momentum is developed by prioritizing segments of time in your life and dedicating it to the things of the kingdom. And not just not doing for the kingdom, not so much doing for the kingdom, but developing yourself in kingdom things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You follow me? It's going to develop your faith. It's going to develop the F component there. And the more time you'll spend in the Word, the more spiritual momentum it will develop in your life. When you start, we're going to look at this further in more detail here in a few minutes. But the more time you'll spend, you'll dedicate time to prayer, to praying in the Holy Ghost, to getting in the Word, to listening to sermons. You follow me? Meditating the Word. The more it's going to develop your spiritual momentum. And I call those things of being involved in kingdom operation as faith time. Not time necessarily applying faith, but time developing your faith. Time feeding your faith. See, so many people, we're in a microwave society. I want everything the kingdom has to offer, and I want it now. It doesn't come now. You follow me? Comes through application and dedication and investment. I saw the other day the most phenomenal display of human skill in my life I've ever witnessed. Saw it on YouTube. Some of you may have seen it. I watched the 12-time world yo-yo champion. Anybody see that? Anybody else see that? They have a young Japanese boy, or young man. He's a 12-time world champion yo-yoer. This boy, what he did with yo-yos, I would have thought was humanly impossible. He spent 5 minutes with two yo-yos at the same time, going every direction, spinning the strings together while he's yo-yoing, undoing them at the same time around his neck. I can't even explain it. He did stuff with yo-yos I never dreamed of. The Duncan man ought to retire. That's all I can say. All the Duncan men in the world ought just to retire. That's it. You know who the Duncan men are? You don't remember the Duncan men? When I was a kid, Duncan yo-yos was the number one yo-yo. And they had guys that would train. They would train up to be Duncan men. And they would go to all the cities and put on yo-yo demos. And they'd come, I remember as a young kid, they'd come in, they'd show you, walk the dog. Wow. Round the world. Woo. And then the ultimate one, rock the cradle. I learned all those, yeah, Duncan Manny, here we go. This guy, Duncan ought to just give up, that's all I can say. Amen, go into the donut business. Go in the donut business, Dunkin' Donuts, amen? And I watched him and I realized the thousands of hours he must have trained himself to do that. I mean, this young man, he must have dedicated his entire life to spinning pieces of wood, or plastic nowadays, I guess. I mean, he had to dedicate himself to this. To do what he does is impossible without a life investment in it. And something that's not going to produce any eternal results. He'll just be known as the greatest yo-yo wherever. He invested his life in this thing. And Christians want to be super faith men now. Not realizing God has set up this system that a time component is involved if you want to move into the things of kingdom victory. There's a time component involved if you want to be somebody that can really move mountains. Jesus didn't begin his ministry till he was 30 years old. I believe the rest of his entire 30 years was in faith time. Sitting at the feet of the instructors, of the teachers. Staying in the scrolls, learning the Word of God, finding out who he was. He spent 30 years of faith time before he ever did his first miracle. Before he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And we want to just have it now. But the laws of the kingdom says unless a gift comes on you, you can't just have it now. Because God considers your life your greatest possession. And He wants you to believe in Him to the point and believe in His system to the point you will invest the most valuable component of your life, which is your time, in His kingdom activities. He says, you make that level of investment into me, into my system, you'll believe that it really works every time, all the time, for everyone who will invest in it. He says, you will see mountains move. We have got to believe our investments in the kingdom are not in vain. You got to believe that God is not mocked. The word says that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You got to believe it applies to your financial seed and your faith development seed. Whatever you sow will produce. The enemy, one of his number one attacks against the people of God is when you go to read or you go to pray, you go to pray in the Holy Ghost, you want to go to church, the enemy says, you got better things you need to do. What about this and that and the other? You know, you got all these jobs you got to take care of. You got all these circumstances that are overtaking your life. You better deal with those. You don't have time to pray. Which means you're going to do all the momentum reversal by your own strength versus with the power of the Word of God. You got to believe it produces. Are you following me on this? And so momentum is developed by doing the things of faith over time. That's why diligence and discipline are so important. Because unless you develop disciplines and diligence regarding the things of faith in your life, the enemy will come in and he'll suck out all your time for natural things. You follow me? And you won't have time left to do the things that develop spiritual momentum. And then when the enemy brings an attack against you, you've got nothing. You've got nothing to stop it. Even if you are a faith giant, you have developed your faith. If you don't keep your faith in motion, if we look at our formula again, notice FT equals VM. If you've not been putting any FT in, faith time, your velocity will go to zero. And it doesn't matter how big your mass is, if your velocity is zero, you have zero momentum. Because zero times any number is still zero. Aren't you glad they taught you that in third grade? Zero times any number is still zero. So if you do not learn how to have a consistent application of faith time, your spiritual momentum will diminish over time, and you will have zero velocity or zero momentum. In other words, zero velocity means you're not going nowhere. Zero velocity means you're not going anywhere. There's no momentum in your life. You're not bowling over anything. Again, you take that railroad locomotive and you get it going 20 miles an hour, there's not a man on earth going to jump in front of it. Unless it can run real fast. You follow me? But that same locomotive that's standing still, you can move. Human strength can move a railroad locomotive. It's been demonstrated. If it's standing still in a frictionless surface, it can be moved. But if it's already moving, it's got momentum, no man on earth is going to stop it. You in the same fashion, we in the same fashion, have got to do the things necessary to invest time in developing and maintaining spiritual momentum. You follow me on this? And in the next weeks, we're going to look at, you know, some of these things that we need to do to maintain that. But let me look at this formula a little further. I'm really running out of time, so let me take the last few minutes and look at it from this direction. We have in this equation FT equals VM. So faith time produces a motion in a mass produces momentum. If we're trying to apply that to our lives, over here where it says VM, velocity times mass, velocity is obviously how fast you're going somewhere. You follow me? How fast is your life moving forward into the things of the kingdom? How much advancement are you experiencing? But what's the mass? What's mass represent here regarding us? You follow me? Well, the mass of something is the size of it or the weight. And as I was meditating this, I believe we can apply it in this fashion. If you take a little bitty baby, what's the average baby weigh when it's born? 8 pounds, something like that, 7, 8 pounds? 6 pounds? That's a little baby. What's that? 6 pounds average? Oh, come on now. No. That baby can grow up to be as, you know, weigh as much as I do, obviously, as much as you do. So the baby that started at 6 pounds can end up weighing over 200 pounds. And so it can experience, you know, 8 pounds to 200. What is that? 25-fold increase, 25 times. So if you weigh 200 pounds and you were born at 8 pounds, you now weigh 25 times more than you weighed when you were born. Is that right, math? Amen. Thank you. Sometimes when I get under the anointing, my math skills go out the window. So what happens is you develop in your size as you mature. Your weight advances as you mature. I believe our mass spiritually is represented by our spiritual maturity. Your spiritual development. And I'm not talking about, you know, that you just have a calm demeanor. I'm talking about you developed yourself in the things of the kingdom. So if you take a Kenneth Copeland or, you know, a Reinhard Bonnke or something, they have invested their life in spiritual development. And they have matured in the realm of the Spirit so that they would be represented by a great mass. See, there is no doubt that you take a T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne has now done more miracles, had more manifested miracles in his life than any recorded man on this planet in history. Y'all know who T.L. Osborne is? More miracles recorded, verified, documented miracles than any man on this planet in history. There is no doubt that T.L. Osborne has a spiritual mass, a spiritual maturity that can do much greater miracles than the average newborn Christian. You follow me? Why? He spent time. He spent in time and faith time. He has developed his spiritual mass content or his maturity. And you take a T.L. Osborne and he charges himself by praying an hour, he will do much greater things with his hour of prayer than you'll do in your hour of prayer. Because of the momentum he experiences by an hour of prayer is much greater than what we're going to experience. Let me put it in terms of this. You can drive a Chevy Volt if you can't hear God. No offense if you have a Chevy Volt. You can drive a Chevy Volt or you can drive a Humvee. A Hummer, right? You can drive a Hummer. And there is no doubt that the Hummer can plow through much more opposition than the Chevy Volt. Or the Subaru my wife gave me years ago. Wing, ding, 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 ding. But the same gallon of gas that'll fuel the Hummer will fuel the Chevy Voltus as well. They'll both run on gas, but one can do a whole lot more with it. Based on your spiritual maturity, your development in the things of faith, your development in the things of the kingdom, an hour of prayer that you'll experience will do much more in your life than somebody that's never, ever developed themselves spiritually. So what happens is faith time that somebody that has matured themselves will create a whole lot more momentum than somebody that hasn't. We have got to be those that develop ourselves in the things of the kingdom, and we develop a spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is reflected by how much fruit of the Spirit are you walking in. Amen. How much of the love of God are you able to manifest? How much are you able to utilize your faith? I'm kind of running out of time, so I'm going to kind of wrap this up here very quickly. We'll get on it more next week. But you have a mass component to your momentum. How much spiritual maturity have you developed? But it's not enough to have momentum. You have to put it in motion. And to put it in motion means that you fuel it and you step on the gas. In other words, if you want to have spiritual momentum, you first have to develop yourself, and then you have to fuel yourself, and then you have to act on your faith. This will be the lead-in for next week. You develop yourself. You fuel yourself. How do you fuel yourself? Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm your fuel. You follow me? You fuel yourself on the Word and in prayer, especially with tongues. Because it says in Jude 20, building up yourselves or charging yourself, fueling yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. In Jude, that word says building up yourself really has the connotation to charge as a battery. Energizing yourself in your faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. So first you develop spiritual maturity, then you fuel yourself by prayer in the Word. And then it says in James, faith without works is dead, being alone. You have to act on your faith. You have to put it in motion. It's not enough just to have maturity and not act on it. You got to act on it. You got to speak. You got to step forth. Are you following me? And what happens is, once you develop yourself, you fuel yourself through faith time, and then you act on it, spiritual momentum will be the result, and no devil in hell can stop you. Now, again, closing out this part of the teaching, I want to bring this out again. FT equals VM. Faith time, or force times time, results in momentum. In the natural realm, there is no such thing as magic momentum. I don't care how nice a car you got, you set it in the parking lot, you don't fuel it, start the engine, press on the gas, it's not going anywhere. There's no such thing as magic momentum. Momentum always requires a force times time. And this realm was created out of the spirit realm. There's no such thing as spiritual magic momentum. Well, I'm just a powerhouse for Christ. How much time do you spend in the Word and prayer? Hardly any. You're in dreamland. There is no such thing as magic momentum in the spirit either. It requires faith time. It requires dedication. It requires sowing a seed of your life's time, your greatest commodity, into the things of the kingdom. Well, my life's just too valuable. You know, I hear people say, you know, my time's too valuable to spend time in the Word and prayer. It's funny how all of a sudden somebody's time is too valuable to spend in things of eternal payment, eternal results, but yet they can sit in front of the TV for 6 straight hours that'll produce nothing. You're not attacking the TV. I like TV. You follow me? Football starts in 2 weeks. But if you can invest so much of your time in front of the boob tube, surely we can invest time in front of the Word of God. We just have excuses. To develop maturity, to develop skill in using something requires time. We're going to start looking at where Jesus taught concepts of spiritual momentum development. He taught it in terms of, if you abide in me and my words abide you, you can do what you want. You can go through any obstacle. Whatever you pray, you can receive. What was he talking about? Developing spiritual momentum. Jude talked about praying in the Holy Ghost, developing spiritual momentum. It says in Isaiah 58, when you fast, you can break the bondages off of your life. You can plow through anything. Fasting develops spiritual momentum. We have an opportunity to take our time and produce what's of the greatest value. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for you just drawing on us to move into the things of the kingdom. I thank you for it. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Look, if you need special prayer for anything...